May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 789. O ye sons of men, be wise, trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ's almighty power can do nothing but devour. 789.
Thank you. May the Lord lead us into the truths of that hymn that we have just sung together. For without that, we shall forever be lost. Reading together from the Word of God, from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 74. Reading together from Psalm 74. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name for ever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor for ever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproached thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. May the Lord bless the reading of his word of truth to us, and help us to call upon his name in prayer. O Lord, our God, we bow our unworthy heads before thee in the attitude of prayer and supplication, praying that thou wouldest hear us, and through our only plea, even the Lord Jesus Christ, what he hath done, and his merits, and his person, our only plea, and who hath said, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we pray, Lord, that it may be in thy gracious will that thou wilt hear us, as we seek to approach unto thee, both in prayer and in worship and praise to thy great and holy name. Look down upon this gathering, Lord. Oh, we come, Lord, in that way, that manner of thy servant of old time, even Jacob, not worthy of the least of all the mercy and truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant, unworthy, Lord. But, oh, we come and plead thy name, the all-worthy name of Jesus, and our only acceptance to God the Father. Lord, be with us, be present in the midst of us according to thy promise, Lord. We plead thy promise, Lord, or that the twos and the threes that gather together, Lord, thou hast promised to be with them, and in the midst of them pour forth thy Holy Spirit upon each one of us, Lord, that we might each be brought to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And with, we pray thee, the hungering and the thirsting for thyself, Lord. We're poor and needy in and of ourselves, Lord, and we cannot ourselves attain unto the things of the Spirit thou knowest. And oh, that thou wouldest look down upon us, Lord, lift us up above all these inferior things here below, Lord, and from all the things that would distract, Lord, and turn our hearts from thee, Lord, and through thy Spirit lead us each to thy feet, lifting up our hearts to thee, Lord, and with a desire for thy name, a desire for thy word, and that thou wouldest be pleased, Lord, to come to each one of us and bless us with a word in season for our souls. Oh, to do us good, Lord, to bring us near to thee, Lord, to partake of thee, to eat of thy flesh, drink of thy blood, Lord, and through thy cross, feasting upon the wholeness of the gospel, the blessedness of thy person, thy work that thou didst come to do, thy salvation for poor, guilty sinners, Lord, or that alone, Lord, is that which we would rejoice in and would seek, Lord, further tokens and further blessings in our souls. Lord, thou, what thou hast done and wrought for us, that it was forever, Lord. For we do feel, Lord, and very solemnly so, our sad departings from thee, Lord. Though we cannot keep our mind stayed on thee, Lord, a wayward heart, a wayward mind, Lord, sadly our poor hearts given to all manner of thing, Lord, oh, but we do pray, Lord, bring us back, Lord. Cause us again to return, Lord. Show us again thy great salvation, Lord. We pray thee and forgive, Lord, our solemn backslidings. We pray thee. Draw us each, Lord, into the blessedness of thy gospel. Let it be good news to our never-dying immortal souls. And Lord, we do pray for the blessedness of thee, of thy love and thy choice of some from lost mankind. Lord, reveal it again, Lord, to us. Or that thou didst have a love for our poor souls, Lord. Or that thou didst, Lord, in thy rich grace, give thy people before time began unto thy dearly beloved Son, that he should come in the fullness of time and show mercy to them. O Lord, we want again these confirmations in our souls that it was for us. Oh, we want to know, Lord, the blessedness of thy pardoning love and mercy, Lord, continually feeling the solemn truth of our sins and iniquities. Oh, do, Lord, undertake for us, we pray thee, and we pray that we may be brought again to see by faith the blessedness of thy person in our room and in our place at Calvary. And Lord, what a mercy it is to be brought there. Oh, do keep us humble, Lord. Keep us low at thy feet, Lord. For it was for our sins, Lord, that thou didst come, and in a very real and personal way, to save and to redeem. Cause us again, Lord, to rejoice in thy salvation, we pray thee. Cause us again, Lord, to come humbly before thee, and as helped to praise and to bless thy name, that thou didst come unto us, no better than any other, Lord. We were in the world and in our sins, and Satan was in our hearts. But thou didst come, Lord, or that thou didst, Lord, destroy all his works in us. And we do thank thee, Lord, for that mercy. And oh, what a blessing, Lord, it is to come to thy house of prayer, and that we may be enabled to know the blessedness of the sanctifying effects of thy love and grace to us, separating us from sin, from the world, from Satan, and translated into the kingdom of thy dearly beloved Son, and now brought to feast upon thy gospel grace, and that our one treasure is now in heaven. And, O Lord, that we might now look up unto thee. And we pray for that blessing, Lord, in our souls, that thou wouldest be revealed. O lift up our hearts to thee, Lord. We pray thee, set our affection on things that are above and not on the earth. And we thank thee, Lord, for this cause of truth. We thank thee, Lord, that there is a witness of the gospel in this locality. We thank thee, Lord, that there are some here that are gathered, and we pray all that have an interest, Lord, in respect of their never-dying souls and that salvation that is wrought in the person of thy dearly beloved Son. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may each be drawn into the blessedness of redeeming love and blood. Oh, do come to us each, Lord, the eldest down to the youngest, if it be thy gracious will, may we know that divine change. May we be blessed, Lord, with the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins and iniquities, we pray thee. Do, Lord, be with all the gatherings together in thy name this day. Draw near to thy people wheresoever they are. Meet all their needs in the gospel, we pray thee. Many, differing and varying, Lord, are the needs of thy people. But do appear, Lord, in all thy fullness. Reveal and manifest thyself. Come to each case, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that they may receive at thy gracious hand some token for good in their never-dying souls, sealed there through thy Spirit of what thou hast done for them. So, Lord, do appear and be with all the gatherings together, Lord. Help and enable each of thy sent servants to stand forth upon the walls of Zion to proclaim the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh, we do pray, Lord, use them as instruments of usefulness in thy hands, that they may be enabled to preach Christ and him crucified. And we do pray this day that as Paul may plant and Apollos water, but God giveth the increase, Lord, may there be an increase. Oh, that there may be a spiritual prosperity in the souls of thy dear people. Oh, that there may be a lifting up of their poor souls near to thee, that they might feel that oneness, that union, that fellowship with thee. And then also we do pray, Lord, through the word, that there may be a gathering in, Lord. Or thou knowest how that we do seek, that there may be those, Lord, that shall be brought to profess their faith in thy name, what thou hast done and wrought for them. May they never be ashamed of Jesus and the gospel, but, oh, to be drawn by the cords of thy love and to bear testimony to thy dying love to them. Lord, we commit these things to thee, Lord. In thy rich mercy come. And we do pray, Lord, be with each that are unable to gather together in thy name. We prayerfully commit each to thee, Lord, wheresoever they are, to be with them, keep them, preserve them. Oh, but do visit them in thy salvation. Be that one, Lord, to appear in thy rich mercy, even as thou didst appear unto those two on the Emmaus road. Oh, that, Lord, thou wouldest, through thy Spirit, take of the things of Jesus, show them unto them, that their heart indeed may burn within them, we pray thee. And so, Lord, undertake the cause and the interest of each of thy people. Be with us each, Lord, as we gather together. Be with us, Lord, in all our concerns, all our needs. Be with us in our homes. Be with us in our business. Be with us in all our goings forth here below. Be that one to go before us in the way. Conduct us each in thy love and fear, and help us to serve thee in our day and in our generation. Do help thy servant, Lord, to speak in thy name thy word of truth. O Lord, through thy Spirit, put the rich word of thy gospel grace into his earthen vessel, and, oh, show him what to say before thy people here. give him something to say about thyself, about thy mercy, about thy goodness, about thy salvation. Give him something to say in thy name, and open the hearts of each one of thy people here, that they might hear and receive thy word in faith and in love, and not only be hearers of thy word, but be doers of the same also. We seek and ask these mercies in and through the name and person of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. 690.
Thank you.
help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 74, and reading from verses 19 and 20. Psalm 74, reading from verses 19 and 20. O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor for ever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. A psalm of instruction, a psalm of teaching. May the Lord bless us each with a teachable spirit, that we might learn and know of him, and that by and through his word the Lord would be pleased to build us up and to edify us, and in particular to draw us near unto him in the worship of his name, and that we might behold, we pray, the blessing that subsists between Christ and his church. May the Lord teach us. It was a psalm, as it were, that would be handed down to Asaph. And in the collection of psalms, they would be recorded, and that they would be made used and useful, not only at the time of Asaph, but in each and every generation of time. For that the Lord hath taken this psalm and enclosed it in the word of his truth, that it might be made useful to his dear people, and that in every generation of time. It does appear that much of the language in this psalm appears to be that it may have been David who was the psalmist. David, who indeed was a prophet and spake of those things also which were not only present, but those things which would come to pass, and those things at later dates. And it speaks of the sanctuary being defiled and cast down, and the sanctuary being burned, and the synagogues and so forth. It may have a respect to Babylon, and how that they did indeed come into the land and the temple was destroyed and so forth, but spoken here, we believe, in prophecy. But there are indeed those things contained in this psalm also that has been a fact and a truth in every generation of time. And that is the solemn truth that we have in verse 18, preceding the words of our text. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. And then it speaks of the wicked in our text. Dear friends, it has been such through every generation of time that the wicked, and in many ways, have sought to oppose the church. David makes such a distinction between the wicked and the godly in Psalm 37. And that it was there that, if I just go to it, it is here that the wicked plotteth against the just, gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. And in that Psalm 37, if you read it at leisure, the many things spoken of in respect of the wicked. But oh, this truth, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. How many have opposed the Lord, opposed the gospel? How many strove against the Lord? In verse 18, the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. And this leads us to the words of our text, you see. God's name has been reproached and blasphemed in every generation of time. And hasn't it been so today? Reproached. His character, nature, as it were, reputation defamed, degraded, brought into a lower place, dear friends, lower than the glory of his person, the blessedness of his person, his holiness, his perfections, his purity, is being degraded, reproached. See how Sennacherib sought to declare and blaspheme his name by saying that the God of Israel could not keep him from destroying them. His name was blasphemed. Reproach. Declaring that God, in all the supremacy of his power, was unable to overthrow Sennacherib. But Sennacherib, dear friends, was shown, wasn't he? And see, in the day of the dear Lord Jesus, that dear man came to do all good, his heavenly Father's will. See how he was reproached and blasphemed. See how his name was defamed. And see how he was degraded. Dear friends, he came to do good, to cast out spirits and devils. By whom did they say? Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. The dear Lord Jesus, in the purity and in the blessedness and the holiness of his person. And see how they blasphemed him. Saw him as a man of naught. Scorned him, mocked him, derided him. He was numbered with the transgressors, wasn't he? Jesus said that that word should come to pass, that he should be numbered with the transgressors. Yes, they saw him as a sinner, dear friends, a transgressor. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And what were they saying in those words? Why, they were bringing him to their place, to the lowliness of the sinners, making him to be a sinner, whilst they exalted in their own self-righteousness. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name, and it is so today. See, dear friends, this nation of ours, where God has dwelt, where he has shown his mercy and his favour to us in so many years past, a nation of godly men and women, a nation that walked in truth, a nation that served the Lord, that honoured his word, walked in the light and the truth of it, and loved it. And see now, the laws and the legislation, the desecration of his Sabbath, and the bringing in of laws so inconsistent with gospel truth and the written word. They strive against God, blaspheme his name, blaspheme his word. We are in a very solemn place and position. David, I believe that this is a psalm of David. Deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Do not let me go with them. Do not let me go over to them. Dear friends, this is important for every one of us. David didn't want to be connected or mingled or enjoined to them in any way whatsoever. He felt this, that as his name was reproached and blasphemed, so it belonged to his people. Anything, dear friends, where the Lord, his name blasphemed or reproached, as the church are the body and Christ is the head, so they feel it, dear friends. It will have a deep effect upon them because of the blessedness of that glorious union that the church have with their Lord and their Saviour, their whole belonging unto him, that they're owned by him, and that the greatness of that love that he showed to us and that hath constrained our love to him, to honour him, to love his name and to worship him, yes, it will affect us. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove. This is a prayer, dear friends. Is it our prayer? To know that separation from all those, and we may hear it in our workplace and in our lives in general. All our coming and all our going, isn't it here? That everywhere his name is reproached and blasphemed. Do we feel it, dear friends? Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Do we pray in our prayers for that separation? You see, the church, grace has separated them, sanctified them from this world, from its wickedness, from its vanity and its evil, separated them. Let it be a prayer of ours. Let not our souls come into their secret, dear friends. That is what Jacob said many years earlier. O, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Let us just see here what David may mean in respect of the turtle dove. Because David is saying, I believe it is David here, that he was a turtle dove. But its particular application is to this turtle dove, compared with the church, the Lord's dear people. David spake like this often, a sort of a similitude. In another place he says, I am like a green olive tree. I don't want to explain it, dear friends, but there's a lot of blessings and wonderful truths in that. But here now, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. The turtle dove was a bird, and it was a bird. In general, tortoise, more European than what we may know over here, the dove, the European turtle dove. And they're a bird that congregated together in great numbers. They're a bird, appears that congregated more together around the palm trees. And David uses the term congregation. And I believe it was a term used in the second verse also. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old. And so we may see the turtle doves. They were always together. Always gathered together. And if we see this as a picture of the church, dear friends, isn't it true in respect of the church? The church, in the greatness of their deliverance from sin and their salvation in Jesus, they're all gathered together. All found one. And this may show to us clearly that the church is all one. And they congregate together, assemble together. In other words, dear friends, they love the company of each other more than all others. The turtle dove. And we see the church. We've been singing of a little remnant. This is the church. This little congregation. These few here. A great company, yes, but really and truly a remnant, a remnant through grace that have been brought together. Grace has brought them together. Grace loved them. Grace saved them. Grace delivered them, brought them together, united them, that they should be one together, in union together. A remnant. Dear friends, I want to be one of this little remnant. What about you? I want to feel that I'm one of this little number, because they are an especial people, a peculiar people, a people that are owned by God, a people whom he loved with an everlasting love, chose them and gave them to Jesus to redeem them, as we have read together. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, dear friends, the purchase price. What was the purchase price of the church? Oh, that precious blood, dear friends. The precious blood of Jesus. The rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed. Ah, dear. Redeemed. What a mercy it is to be one of these. A turtle dove. Together. In union. Flock together. We've got one or two clauses to speak of in our text. But what is another blessing which I believe is respecting this turtle dove? They were meek, dear friends. Meek and timid, as it were, timorous. That was their nature. Faithful in one sense of it, yes. They were unable to stand against their enemies, their predators, and so the church. They're meek. It is the gracious spirit that the Lord has given to them. Many may be meek in the earth, dear friends, many, and there are. But a special truth in respect of this meekness is that grace has made them meek, and grace has brought them into obedience. That is the meekness. You see, obedience. And we see that the Lord Jesus was the meek and the lowly dove, wasn't he? He was. And the church will be like him. Meek, lowly, and yes, timorous, because we haven't got any strength of our own, dear friends. And we hate the world. We hate the world. We hate the wickedness in the world. And flee from it. In that sense, timorous or shy, shall we say, from it. We're not our own. Bought with a price. Meek. These are the humble ones of the earth, dear friends. Grace has made them humble, brought them low. And this is our mercy, because if we're the meek of the earth, we shall inherit the earth. And dear friends, if we are humbled under the mighty hand of God, then this will be a truth in respect of us, that we shall always be dependent upon our God, look up to our God. That humble spirit, that contrite heart which he has given to us, dear friends, will always look to him. In all our life, our circumstances, our need, our worship, our devotion. The meek of the earth. And it's a grand title, dear friends. You might say, well, I don't want to be a meek one of the earth. These are those that are nearest to God, dear friends. That is the truth. They're very near to God. This nature of meekness brings them there. As I say, they're not their own. We are not our own. And then another blessing of this turtle dove is this, that they were, their very nature was a symbol of cleanness and purity. That is the truth of this dove, this turtle dove. A symbol, their very nature, a symbol of cleanness and purity. Can we see this in Jesus, dear friends? The pure, the holy one, the just one, the righteous one, the perfect one, this holy child Jesus. And that is why that the turtle dove was accepted by God in the sacrifices. Mary, following the time of her purification, took the dear Lord Jesus to the temple to do according to the law of Moses. And what did she offer? Two turtle doves, accepted of God, their cleanness and purity. You see, Mary and Joseph, being poor, could not take a lamb, you see. But God accepteth the turtle dove. Oh, but isn't it a picture, dear friends, of the church? Oh, they must be pure. They must be holy. Isn't this what grace has done and wrought in the soul? They hate sin. And how often they hate themselves for their sin. Oh, they do. How often we have been brought to that place. Sins, word, thought and deed, day by day. And they are brought like unto Job. I abhor myself. Repent in dust and ashes. And you know what, dear friends? That defines the character of their cleanness and their purity. It may seem to be so opposite, but it's true. Because they hate their sins. Every evil thought, every wicked way. And the church are clean through the blood and righteousness of Jesus. And you know, when the Lord Jesus, through his rich mercy, has pardoned all our sins, what does the church cry? I'm clean, I'm clean. That is what they cry. I think it's hymn number 580, if I remember. I'm clean, I'm clean. I think it's hymn number 580, I'm not sure. But that is the truth, isn't it? And that was the blessedness of their redemption and salvation. I'm blessed forever blessed. My rags are gone and I am dressed in garments white as snow. Or they profess, I thought the words have seen cleanness somewhere. But oh, it is true, isn't it? I'm married to the Lord the Lamb, whose beauties I can ne'er explain, nor half his glory show. But they're clean, dear friends. All the rags of nature have gone. Jesus, oh, that precious blood that he shed, cleansed and healed, made pure, and the church stand without spot, without blemish or any wrinkle or any such thing upon them. I'm married to the Lamb. Oh, dear friends, clean, pure, holy. And that publican, was clean and pure and holy. And you might ask, well, how could that be? Because he was crying for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He felt his sinnership. Ah, but dear friends, he wanted to be delivered from the filth of his sin. It hung upon his soul, dear friends. It troubled him and it burdened him. He wanted to be free of it. He went to his house justified. Justified. Perfect, pure, standing through the blood and righteousness of Jesus. Blood to heal, to cleanse, and Christ's robe of righteousness to adorn his naked soul. Turtle dove. And then another blessed truth of this turtle dove is this, that this turtle dove, it is a bird also that is beautiful, most beautiful. And just as I was meditating upon this last evening at tea time, I asked my wife just to bring up the turtle dove just on the computer, just to, because I did not know of the European turtle dove. But it is a thing of beauty, slightly different to the doves that we might know and understand. And she brought it up, dear friends, and I saw how beautiful it was. The European turtle, I believe the name turtle is the name to it. And it is beautiful, graceful, graceful looking. Dear friends, a picture of the church, beautiful. They're beautiful, dear friends, in respect of the greatness of the salvation that has been done and wrought for them by Jesus. In Psalm 149, and in verse 4, we have this truth: for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. What is that, dear friends? It is that work of his grace. It is that divine change wrought in the soul. It is the effect, dear friends, of Christ's sufferings and death at Calvary. It is the blessedness of his person, all that he came to do for sinners. He came to heal. He came to cleanse. And dear friends, what is the blessedness of the work, his finished work? Why, that the souls of the dear Lord's people, they shall be beautiful. They are adorned in his righteousness that he wrought for them in his perfect obedience. You see, that is the blessing, and this is the mercy. They stand whole and complete in him. And another word in respect of this comes from Psalm 45, which I just thought of. And in verse 11, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Oh, is there any beauty, dear friends, in a sinner? Was there any beauty in us, dear friends, as we lay polluted in our sins and in iniquities and in this world, far from God? No, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. No. We live to the world, we live to sin, we live to the pleasures of this world. Yes. But what God has wrought in Jesus, dear friends. The church have always been this, according to this word, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. It was desired before time began. But dear friends, he came in a very real and personal way. And his desire was towards the sons of men, dear friends, his love to them. And then this blessing and this truth of what he came to do for them, which he wrought in them and in their souls. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Beautiful, dear friends, the beauty of salvation, the poor soul adorned and forever in a righteousness wrought for them by Jesus and his perfect obedience and sacrifice. The king's daughter is all glorious within. And in the songs of, in the Song of Solomon, we have a precious truth. In chapter 6, the first few verses speak of the church. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. And then Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks in verse 4 of the 6th chapter. He says, thou art beautiful, O my love. Ah, dear friends, the church. Thou art beautiful, O my love. Comely as Jerusalem, dear friends, the church, a comely in and through his comeliness. Is there any people like unto this people whom Jesus loves? He delights in them, loves to be near them. He owns them. He blesses them. He draws near to them. He keeps them, he preserves them, he watches over them. They're the apple of his eye. They're beautiful to him. The church. Deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Carry me not over to them. Let me not go to them. No. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Dear friends, speaking of these words, the turtle dove, the meek, the humble, the poor ones, pray about it, dear friends. Pray about it. Let it be the concern of thy soul. Never mind the wicked, never mind the world. They're going to perish, dear friends. Very solemnly, we pray for many who are in the world. I do. But in general, the wicked that remain the wicked, they shall perish. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. These poor ones, dear friends, another grand characteristic of the church. And they're poor because now they've been wedded unto Christ. Poor in spirit. Poor of the earth. Poor and afflicted, Lord, are thine. I will live in the midst of thee, an afflicted and a poor people, but they belong to the Lord. I'll just connect a word of this turtle dove to these poor ones. One of the blessings to the church is this, their belonging unto the Lord. You know, the turtle doves, they were those that were loyal to each other. And the turtle dove was one, they're ones that they were always that fidelity to their mate, you see, always. Or they were bound to them, their fidelity to their mate. And it's a picture, dear friends, of those who shall be enjoined together naturally, whom the Lord will bring together. to wed, you see, and to take their oaths and be loyal and faithful, you see. And the turtle doves, they were loyal to each other, bound to each other. And so it is, dear friends, not only in a natural way whom the Lord will bring together, they love one another. They are affectioned towards each other. They have taken their vows in respect of each other. And they will be bound by them. But then, dear friends, see the body to Christ, their head, the church. Well, dear friends, these are the poor ones now, wedded to Christ, the body of his people. The poor ones. These are the poor ones that are highly regarded. Poor Lazarus was highly regarded, not the rich man. Poor Lazarus was highly regarded. He was a beggar at the gate of the rich man, and the dogs licked his sores. Oh, but that poor man was rich, dear friends, in his faith and in his love to Jesus. He was poor. David was a poor man, and the church will always be poor people. Why are they poor, dear friends? The Lord met with them. The Lord revealed and showed to them by and through his Spirit and power their sinnership. Showed to them how vile and base they were by nature. And dear friends, the revelation of that brought them low, made them poor. I remember the time when the Lord met with me, dear friends, brought me so low. Brought me to nothing. So poor, so helpless, so weak. But crying, begging for mercy that the Lord would appear. These are the poor ones. And when the Lord will appear and be pleased to pardon and forgive, then, dear friends, they will be kept poor. Conscious, dear friends, that they don't want to sin again anymore against the Lord. Why? Because they beheld him by faith upon the cross in their room and place. That dear man suffering, bleeding, dying for them. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And he says also in another place in the Psalms, all my bones were out of joint, dear friends. If we get a dislocation, how it's painful and hurts, but all his bones were out of joint. Why? He suffered in thy room instead. This dear man, see how he loved thee. And he did love his people. He always will. And he lovingly, voluntarily laid down his life for them because he loved them. They were on the breast of his bosom, dear friends, when he suffered for them. And now they are poor. But what a glorious title. To be the poor of the Lord's. David said in another place, this poor man cried. Dear friends, see his helplessness, see his weakness. But this poor man cried unto his Lord and heard him. You see, the Lord regards these poor ones. Oh, he does, he hears them. He takes so much knowledge of them. He sees their weakness and insufficiency. Blessed truth, dear friends. And what a mercy it is that these poor ones are those now whom the Lord will look upon, take notice of. Though the Lord be high, yet he regardeth the lowly. The meek, the lowly, the poor, he regards them. These poor ones have found mercy. And these poor ones, Jesus will lead forth in the way. And he guards them and protects them, dear friends. Puts a wall of fire round about them because they belong to him. He owns them. He loves them. He will not let any touch them. And the church will cry and pray that we shall not be left to the wicked of this world. And these poor ones. And David says in his prayer here, forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. The congregation, this remnant again, this church whom he loved, saved and redeemed. But do not forget them. Oh, how many times have we forgotten him? How many times have we turned our back upon him? How many times have we backslidden? How many times have our poor hearts been turned aside? How many times have our hearts been overwhelmed with all manner of things? How many times have we forgotten him? How many times have we forgotten the throne of grace? How many times, dear friends, our poor souls have been absorbed with all manner of things, forgotten him? Forget not the congregation of the poor, these poor ones. David says in another place that he was like a sheep gone astray. And dear friends, it is the truth, isn't it? And what a mercy it is that the Lord hasn't forgotten. Oh, how we come to the Lord and how we confess to him. And I know I may have said it before, dear friends, I come to the end of a day sometimes. And I wonder where my poor heart has been. Gathered to all sorts of things. Forgotten him. Him who divinely owns me. Him who did so much for me. Him who cares for me, watches over me, provides for me, upholds me, provides all my needs, and I forget him so much. Can a woman forget her sucking child? She should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Dear friends, the crown of thorns, the stripes on his back, the nails driven through his body, his sacred body, his holy body. Dear friends, the cost of our redemption and salvation, the pardon of our sin. Can he forget thee? Can he forget me? No. No, he cannot. Never will. Another word may be like this, the prayer of the dying thief, Lord, remember me. Remember me, and how often we have come to that. Lord, remember me. One who sinned so greatly, transgressed thy law, walked a life of sinfulness, of wickedness and evil. Lord, remember me. The Lord did remember him, didn't he? Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, dear friends, what great mercy is with the Lord. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. And we forget him so much, don't we? The psalmist says in that we may not forget all his benefits. Well, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We do forget, don't we? I don't want to preach in an opposite way to what the word says. But we come to that place, do we not, so often? In our experience, in our lives. The day can overtake us. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. It's a good prayer for us, isn't it? It's a good prayer for every one of us. It's a good prayer to cry to the Lord continually with. May the Lord help us. And then this truth. Have respect unto the covenant. Dear friends, this is the covenant of grace. God's love to a poor soul before time began. Loved his people with an everlasting love. And he loved them, knowing that they should fall into sin and iniquity. Oh, how great is this love! It is immutable and unchanging. Our sins never affected this love. No, it never changed this love. A word, dear friends. I think in Romans and in chapter 5, while we were yet without strength. In other words, while we were sinners in this world, whilst we were following our own hearts and our own nature, walking in our own ways, gathering up and gathering up, piling up sin and sin and sin, while we were yet in this world, without strength, in due time. Oh, dear friends, Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that the mercy? Well, we have God's covenant love here. And it was a covenant ordered in all things and sure. First, it was realized by our first parents, the seed of the woman. And then, dear friends, by Noah. And then, graciously, which it may have reference here, Abraham, that in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is the covenant. And then this truth. David knew the blessedness of this covenant. It was a covenant ordered in all things and sure. The sure mercies of David. Oh, just very briefly then we shall have to close. But oh, this covenant, dear friend, is our great blessing and mercy. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever. Dear friends, when we read this precious word of God's truth, do we ask the Lord that he would bring us into the truth of it, that we might be one of those that are spoken of, dear friends? Oh, when you read the word, pray that the Spirit of the Lord may come upon it, dear friends, and open your eyes and to ask for the mercy that is in it. And my covenant shall be steadfast with him. With who? Jesus. Jesus. Oh, there is none other, dear friends. My covenant shall be steadfast with him. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There is the covenant, dear friends. God's gift to his people, unspeakable gift to his people. Here is the covenant, dear friends. And then that blessing that came unto the shepherds, or they were blessed, dear friends. The angel Gabriel came to them. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you, unto us a child is born, dear friends. Oh, do we ask the Lord to be found inside of these precious words? So important for our never-dying immortal souls to be one of that unworthy lot, dear friends, that have found mercy through his blood. And then where is the whole seal of the covenant? Isaiah 53, dear friends. That is where Jesus came to be a saviour of his people. And that is where the covenant is sealed up, the blood of the everlasting covenant. What a mercy it is, dear friends, to be found inside of this covenant of God's grace. Dear friends, it will take the poor soul to heaven. The covenant of grace. The poor soul will be carried to heaven. It is through the merits and the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. They are today. And let us not forget this, not only in all the wickedness out in the world, dear friends, which we behold. And there's so much evil this last year or two, springing up everywhere across the earth, evil and wickedness. But I want to tell you somewhere where else it is, dear friends. Many will be sat, they believe, under the word and the gospel today. And if they're not sat under it in spirit and in truth, then, dear friends, that is a great enemy. Oh, make no mistake about that. It is one of the greatest enemies. It's one of the greatest deceptions of Satan. Christ called him a murderer from the beginning. And if we're under any false religion and false doctrine, then, dear friend, we will perish. Seek the Lord that he might bring us, dear friends, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And let his word, through his spirit, be life and sustenance to our souls. The dark places of the earth full of the habitations of cruelty. The deceivers in doctrine. May the Lord help us to think of these things. Think of this turtle dove, dear friends. Go to your homes. Pray for that likeness. Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £665, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Ince will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Adrian Piggott is expected to preach tomorrow evening, Monday, and Mr. Stephen Hyde is engaged to preach next Lord's Day and also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 215. Free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. 215.
Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.